ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 26 एंटाइटल्ड द हेलिश प्लैनेट्स टेक्स्ट 38। सिंस द टेक्स्ट इज इन प्रोज आई शैल रीड इट। निवृत्तलक्षण मार्गा आदवेव व्यक्ष्यतः एतावाने वंडकोशो यश चतुर्दशांध पुराणेषु विकल्पिता उपगीयते यत्तत् भगवतो नारायणस्य साक्षान् महापुरुषस्य स्थवस्थितं रूपं आत्माय गुणमयं अनुवर्णिनम् आदृतपात् पठति श्रृणोति श्रवयति स उपेगयम् भगवतः परमात्मनो ग्राह्यमपि श्रद्धा भक्ति विशुद्ध बुद्धिर्वेद। निवृत्तलक्षणमार्गः क्लेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। इन द बिगिनिंग द सेकेंड एंड थर्ड कैंटोज ऑफ श्रीमद भागवतम आई हैव ऑलरेडी डिस्क्राइब्ड हाउ वन कैन प्रोग्रेस ऑन द पाथ ऑफ लिबरेशन। इन द पुराणास द वास्ट यूनिवर्सल एग्जिस्टेंस विच इज लाइक एन एग divided into 14 parts is described. This vast form is considered the external body of the Lord, created by His energy and qualities. It is generally called the Virata Rupa. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it, or explains it to others to propagate Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness, his faith and devotion in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, will gradually increase. Although developing this consciousness is very difficult, by this process one can purify himself and gradually come to an awareness of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Purport. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained, especially for the understanding of the modern civilized man, to awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or the hellish planetary systems, he simply wastes his time. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virat form of the Lord as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That will help one save himself from the material conditional life and gradually elevate him to the path of liberation, so that he can go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. In this translation and purport, Srila Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada are explaining how the conditional life of a living entity in this world can become purified gradually. Thus, one can come into transcendental consciousness and enter back into the kingdom of God. So this verse speaks about the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental messages of the Lord. And number two, great faith that one must repose in the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam so that one can absorb these messages in one's heart and thus gradually purify one's heart. So we shall talk about the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the transformation that takes place in the heart of the living entity when he or she surrenders to the Srimad Bhagavatam with great faith. It is explained that the Vedas are like a mother. Mother is such a wonderful person that out of her love for her child, she will go to any extent to benefit that child. If it is necessary, then she will put the child on the lap and, you know, gradually thump her head. Most of us have experience of going to sleep in our mother's lap, being gently put to sleep. Or, if necessary, then the very same mother will give a tight slap to the child to get the child to study or take some medicine or do something which the child does not want but is good for the child. So Vedic scriptures are like that. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is explained to be the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree, the crest jewel of all the Vedic scriptures. Therefore, the living entity, who is like a child now, in the sense that we have forgotten our mature position of loving Krishna, and we are behaving like a child trying to enjoy the ordinary things of this world. So the Vedas encourage us to come out of this condition and come back to our eternal life. In fact, there is a verse glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that verse explains that the Vedic scriptures are also like a master giving instructions to a servant. Just like a master, if the master has to get something through the servant, then he has to order the servant. Then the servant understands, okay, by this instruction, I'm supposed to do it like this. The Puranas are like a friend. When the Puranas want to encourage, like a friend wants to encourage another friend, then he will not instruct that friend. He will tell him some nice stories. He'll tell him some anecdotes, examples of his own life. And then he will inspire his friend to act in a particular way. And finally, the Kavyas, they are like a lover describing their emotions to a beloved. So that will be explained in great poetry, sweet metaphors. The emotions of the heart are just flowing in all directions. But the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, encourages the living entity in all three ways. Just like a master gives instructions to a servant, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us so many strong instructions that one must thoroughly, definitely give up sense gratification. In the purport to the verse, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radokshaje, Srila Prabhupada mentions how there are two paths in the Vedas. There is the Pravritti Marg and there is the Nivritti Marg. The Pravritti Marg is that by which you enjoy this world and still go ahead on the path of liberation. And the Nivritti Marg is one who follows renunciation of these worldly pleasures and then goes on the path of liberation. And Srila Prabhupada strikes a logic there. He says if a person has got a disease like a fever, then what is the use of trying to increase that fever? So already the living entity is having the fever of sense enjoyment in this world. So the Pravritti Marg given in the Veda is very, very dangerous. Therefore, one must cut one's attachment to this world, and the Srimad Bhagavatam encourages us to do that. Sometimes heavy verses come. Chidyante sarvash kilvishai. Just cut off the knot of material attachment. And sometimes the Srimad Bhagavatam, like a friend, is encouraging another friend, tells so many pastimes, analogies, anecdotes to encourage us. Just like Ajamila, the whole pastime has been told. that he was so unfortunate that in spite of being a devotee, he fell down. Still, nothing was lost because he could continue his devotional service at the time of his death when he remembered the name of Narayan. So this entire pastime is told to encourage us that yes, it is possible. Whoever we are, wherever we are, there is lots of hope. Devotional service is meant for everyone. It's possible. And then, the Srimad Bhagavatam also, like a lover is describing to his beloved, similarly, speaks about such beautiful poetry, metaphors. In fact, in Sanskrit study, they say that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the epitome of descriptive poetry. So beautifully presented. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful that it gives us instructions, it gives us stories like a friend, and it also describes metaphorically the emotions of a living entity in loving relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In fact, Sanatana Goswami, in his prayers to the Srimad Bhagavatam, explains four beautiful verses, which are his heart's outpouring to his study and relish of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Sarva Shastra Bipiyushaha Sarva Vedeka Shatfala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Drikprada. In the first verse, he says, Sarva Shastra Bipiyushaha. This Srimad Bhagavatam is Piyusha, the nectar churned from the ocean of milk called the Shastra. When the entire ocean is churned, even when buttermilk is churned, some butter comes out. That's the essence, the thick, solid essence. So the essence of all the Vedic literatures is this nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Vedeka Shatfala. And this is also the transcendental fruit of the Vedic tree. If the Vedas are compared to a tree, then what is the most important relishable part of a tree? Like in Hindi they say, no? Aam khane se matlab hai ya ped ginne se matlab hai. So it's the fruit that's the most relishable part of the tree. Sarva siddhanta ratnyadya. Then is it that if it's just the fruit, then it has only one part of the tree? Because a fruit is just one part of the tree. It says no. It has the jewel of all philosophical conclusions. That which is found in all other scriptures is there. And that which is not available in other scriptures, even that is there. Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya, the jewel of all philosophical conclusions. And Sarva Lokeka Drikpada, one who can grant spiritual vision. Sarva Lokeka Drikprada, and offer that vision to the people in general. In the second verse of his ecstasies of relishing Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dvanto Ditaditya Shri Krishna Parivartita. So then describing in general about how it's the essence of the Vedas, it's the fruit of the Vedic tree, and how it can give vision to the people in Kali Yuga because it's the conclusion of all Vedic, all philosophies. Then he starts talking about the position of the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. And he says, Sarva Bhagavata Prana. It's the life, the prana. Now how deep is a prana for a person? One can live without food, one can live without water sometimes when we fast on certain days. But prana, even if we stop breathing for a few seconds, immediately we start feeling choked up. So he explains that those who are Bhagavatas, the real devotees, for them, Srimad Bhagavatam is like their life. Srimad Bhagavatam Prabho. And he's the master. Kali Dvanto Tita Aditya. And it's the Aditya, the sun, that has risen to destroy the darkness of Kali Yuga. Shri Krishna Parivartita. And here he gives a very beautiful understanding. Shri Krishna Parivartita is a transformation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, in the form of written literature. It's so amazing that when we are actually touching Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we are actually in touch with Krishna Himself. In the fourth chapter of the first canto, Srila Prabhupada ends one of the purports by saying, if one deeply studies this chapter, then one will experience the presence of Narad Muni here. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, in fact, one great devotee was explaining, was a thundering conviction. When I heard it, it was so inspiring, that when the speaker is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam and the audience is hearing, the transcendental message is beyond time, place and circumstances. So it is actually non-different than the sages in Naimisharanya hearing from Suta Goswami or Parikshit Maharaj hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. We are actually transported to that platform. If one can connect to the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because Shri Krishna Parivartita, it is actually a transformation of Shri Krishna himself. And then now, after talking about the people in general and the Vedas in general and now the devotees, he starts applying it to his own life. In this verse he says, Paramananda Pathaya Prema Varshaya Aksharayata Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya Shri Krishnaya Namostute. And with reverence he approaches Srimad Bhagavatam. Paramananda Pathaya, when I study it, the reading, you will attain all transcendental bliss. Prema Varshaya Aksharayate. With every akshar, every syllable, reigns pure love of God. Just see his experience of studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. Every verse and syllable of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, Prema Varshaya Aksharayate. Sarvada Sarva Sevaya. Therefore, he exclaims that everyone must serve the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shri Krishnaya Namostute. And Lord Krishna will be established in one's heart when one does that. Now he takes one step further and he talks about his own personal ecstasies and he goes very deep in his relationship with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Madeka Bandho Mad Sangim Mad Guru Mad Mahadana Mad Nistaraka Mad Bhagya Madananda Namostute. Now when he takes the Srimad Bhagavatam very close to his heart, he says, Mad Eka Bandho Mad Sangim Mad Eka Bandho. He's my only friend. Mad Sangim. And not only just a friend, but a constant companion. That's all. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam for me. And he exclaims, Oh, my dear friend, my companion, Mad Guru, Mad Mahadana. And then he goes one step ahead. He says, Mad Guru, you are actually my spiritual master. You are my teacher. And you are my life and soul. Mahadana, my greatest treasure, my greatest wealth. Mad Nistaraka Mad Bhagya. Oh, my deliverer. Oh, my good fortune. Mad Bhagya. Madananda Namostute. And you are my greatest bliss and ecstasy. Therefore, I pay my obeisances to you. Now, when we hear this explanation of Sanatana Goswami's ecstasies in reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, it may sometimes bring us to reflect what is our devotion, our relish, our study of this divine scripture. In fact, I can share one time, I was coming from Pune to Mumbai in the early days when I was beginning to practice Krishna consciousness. And I was reading the first chapter, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the second chapter of the first canto is so powerful. Each and every verse is a jewel. So I was becoming very inspired. As the train started, every verse was like practically jumping out of the book and inspiring us so much. And then after half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, Lonavala came, nice breeze, nice environment. And then I was looking here and there. Then the heat of the train started hitting me. And then I came across this verse. Yadanu syasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat katharatim. Yad anudhyasina yukta. With a sword in one's hand, karma granti nibandhanam. This Srimad Bhagavatam can actually cut through all the knots of millions of lives of one's attachments. Chindanti kovidastasya. So where is not that intelligent person who will give attentive, rapt attention to the messages of Srimad Bhagavatam? This nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam is available to everyone. Who is that animal, Srila Prabhupada says, who will not attentively and submissively accept the oral reception of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And while I was reading this, I was wondering that it is a fact that intelligent persons will give rapt attention, but it was very hard on my ego. Because while I was reading this verse, when Shukadeva Goswami is asking, who is that foolish person who will not give attention to the Srimad Bhagavatam, I was thinking probably he's pointing to me. Because I was reading while even reading this verse. I was sleeping even while reading this verse. It was so difficult to absorb ourselves in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even verses which says that one should give rapt attention, in that verse also I'm feeling sleepy. So how will I actually connect to the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Therefore, the words are there, the scripture is there, but it takes a great soul to actually absorb and bring out the nectar. Like Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning the other day, if we simply swim on the waves of bhakti or on the waves of Srimad Bhagavatam, then all we'll get is the banging of the tides and the waves. But if someone is searching for jewels, then the jewels are not available in the superficial waves of the ocean. They are available deep. One has to dive deep, deep, deep. And one has to become expert in seeing the difference between ordinary pebbles and jewel oysters. And thus one can actually take out the nectar, the jewels from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, when our library was made, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he didn't give it a very technical name. He said, call it Sharanagati. Because the study is to take shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is, the words are there, but unless one takes shelter of the scripture, one relishes the scripture, till then the nectar will not be awakened. One can become an intellectual scholar, one can even inspire or even impress so many people's intellect, impress when thunder them. But the transformation of the heart takes place when there is a transfer of bhakti, when there is surrender to this scripture. So therefore, in the last verse, Sanatana Goswami gives some hope. He says the Srimad Bhagavatam, asadhu sadhu tadayim ati nicho chakaraka hanamuncha kadachin mam premna hrit kantayos fura. Asadhu sadhuta dain. He said, this scripture is so wonderful that although it's actually the nectar of all nectars, this scripture can be studied even by the most fallen person. So is this scripture actually meant for the most fallen? No. Asadhu sadhuta dain. It has the capacity of providing saintliness to people with unsaintly character. You know, in school, sometimes if a person is in the 8th standard and is finding it very difficult to get through the 8th standard, he spent 1 year, 2 years, then they sometimes demote that person. You study 7th standard. When you become more competent, then you come to 8th. So because he's given simple subject matter, he's given simple subject matter because he's not qualified for higher subjects. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not like that. Although a person who has the lowest character is given the Srimad Bhagavatam, not that it is very simple. A sadhu sadhuta dain, it can actually awaken the saintliest quality in that person. Ati nicho chakaraka, and is still giving faith and conviction. Even if you are ati nicha, uchakaraka, you can actually lift the very fallen. So please, hana munchati, Sanatana Goswami is calling out, praying, please offer that drop of love, that one drop of love to my heart. And thus, he's approaching the Srimad Bhagavatam. So after hearing this glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that we have to surrender and with great faith progress on the path of Krishna consciousness by hearing these messages and serving the devotees who are giving us these messages. However, this faith is something which is not that easy. Because we have our faith reposed on so many things of this world, it is sometimes a little difficult for us to really put faith that is it possible that just by hearing the sound vibrations, just by associating with the devotees, I'm going to get the highest perfection? I'm going to even conquer the cycle of birth and death? Yes, Shukadeva Goswami had this experience because he had faith. And faith is tested when there is a calamity. In normal situation, one cannot know one's faith. But when there is a calamity, then where one surrenders to take shelter, there one has reposed one's faith. It's like very simple. When a child is crying, what does the mother give the child? That in which the child has faith. If the child has faith that if I eat chocolate, then I'll be happy, then the mother knows, I'll give this chocolate. If the child feels, okay, if I see this television, that will make me happy, then the mother will switch on the Ravana. I'm sorry, television. No, I'm sorry, because Ravana has only 10 heads. Now we are not backward. Now we have 100 channels. So whatever faith one has, that's the place where one will take shelter. So we find that Shukadeva Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj, the king of the entire world, had all facilities at his disposal. But when calamity struck, when he was pronounced to die in 7 days only, where did he desire to go and take shelter? In the association of devotees to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, because he was convinced that if I do this, then I will achieve the highest perfection. His faith was revealed in that calamity. So this question, we can reflect in our heart. When I have difficulties, when I have challenges, even simple difficulties like a physical problem or a mental anxiety, where do I take shelter? Like in a moment of honesty, one devotee actually revealed one devotee, he revealed that at least once a week, although I'm practicing Krishna consciousness, I have to see a football match, because I need some relief also. This Krishna consciousness is nice, it's inspiring, but you need a relief from it for some time. So once a week, a football match, and it's okay, now I can come back to Krishna consciousness. The strict practices of devotional service. So, where do we search for our relief? Actually, from the burning miseries of the material world, the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us relief. And sometimes, because of our neophyte nature, we need relief from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it becomes too much for us. Okay, enough, fine. Therefore, it is explained, only two people are happy in this world. One who has complete faith and who is completely absorbed in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the messages of the Lord, and the other who has nothing to give and take with devotional service, with spiritual life, who is like a dead stone, simply somebody who is trying to enjoy sense gratification in this world, who has covered himself up to not look up to reality, like an ostrich, when an ostrich is running full speed and a hunter comes from behind, the safest place the ostrich thinks where I can find relief from this hunter is to dig a hole and put his head inside. But the ostrich does not know such a big body is outside. The hunter can now, he just relaxes, he stops running, comes close, takes aim, shoots, doom. That's the end of the ostrich. So such dead people who want to close their eyes to the Lord, they can go on thinking that they are happy till time comes and engulfs them, and the pure devotees of the Lord, they can be happy. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was little hilariously explaining this concept that if there is a fish in water and this fish is tempted by a very beautiful juicy bait, if there are many fishes in the water and these fishes are tempted by a very beautiful juicy bait of a fisherman, then two types of fishes are very happy. That fish who comes, sees the bait, sees the hook behind, and just laughs. This looks juicy, but the result is very dangerous. My life can be finished. That fish has no problem. That bait looks juicy, but the fish is not attracted because he knows what's behind. The other fish who just blindly rushes towards the bait, eats the bait, gets caught, and is finished. So that fish, in its blind mad attraction towards the bait, also doesn't wait and watch, has no anxieties. He's just attracted. But all the other fishes in between, they are in great anxiety. And there are different levels of this attraction towards Maya, he was explaining. The first level of attraction is one comes, sees the fish, sees the bait, sees the hook, goes away. So one comes, No, one just by seeing the, the first level he explains is just by seeing the bait one understands. Such a juicy bait, hanging in the middle of the ocean, river, not possible. Something wrong gives it up. Similarly, a devotee hears, a practicing devotee hears that Maya is dangerous. So as soon as he comes somewhere near Maya, immediately there is some red light, some fear that this beautiful thing is not meant for my enjoyment because I am not an enjoyer. I am a dependent enjoyer. I am actually a servant of Krishna. So immediately he escapes from there. Like Vishwamitra Muni, he did a favor to us actually by going through the experience of first having reciprocation with Menaka and producing Shakuntala. And then next time when Ramba came to him, he became so angry with her that first time Apsara had come and destroyed my spiritual life, so you people are the cause of my problem, and he cursed her. Again in his anger, he lost his tapobal. So all the rishis who have come after this have taken lesson from Vishwamitra Muni. Therefore the father of Dronacharya, when one time he was meditating in the forest and one beautiful Apsara came, as soon as he saw the Apsara, he ran away from there. Full speed he started running. Because either he would have become attracted to her, or if he would not be satisfied, then he would become angry with her. Because unfulfilled desires, kamat krodho bijayate. So he started running from there, knowing that I am in a dangerous situation, as soon as he saw her. But still, he discharged his potency, and that was collected in a Drona. And therefore, from there, Drona was born, and he was called Drona. So as soon as he sees that there is a bait, the intelligent fish runs away from there. The first level of the suffering intelligent fishes. The second level comes close, watches the bait, watches up, watches down, sees the different colors, tastes a little bit from down. He knows this danger, there is hook from behind, but can't give it up, you know. Like one devotee was mentioning that, I don't know if this experience of many devotees, but one or two devotees at least have told us that before the day of initiation, because they had to take vows, that evening they said, this is the last tea. This is the last coffee. You know? Of course, they had given up tea and coffee, but because now you have to take a vow, you know, that last, you know, okay, now, at least the desire should not be there, you know, that, okay, I didn't try it, you know. Let me just, I know it's suffering. I know it's suffering, but I have to just convince myself now, because from tomorrow onwards, I'm going to preach that it's suffering. I'm going to be an initiated devotee. So then the last, and even while enjoying the tea and coffee, it's suffering. It's suffering. It's not good, you know. In fact, it's my personal experience also, and many devotees have shared with me, that when we steal Mahaprasad, and we can't show it to others, or we steal some ordinary food, you know, when we are going out into the restaurants or some ordinary food shops to eat, we are so scared. I hope some devotee doesn't come. You know, association is good, but not now, you know. I mean, I want to enjoy this. And even while enjoying, there is that feeling, you know, that it's not so good, you know, actually, but what to do? There's suffering involved. So all the while he's enjoying, he's suffering. He's preaching to himself also. Sometimes I have experience of reading Srimad Bhagavatam while eating stolen Mahaprasad. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is saying one should not steal, one should give up sense gratification. But still, you know, there's less time, so I want to read also, but I want to enjoy this taste also. Difficult. And then there are some other fishes. They come close to this bait. They can see the hook. They can see this. They cannot see the hook. They start eating the bait. They enjoy it. And after halfway through, clung, something hits their mouth. And immediately they come away from it. Because the bait has hit, the hook has hit them. They are scared. Similarly, sometimes, even neophyte devotees or practicing devotees, they go out, they know this is Maya. Still they go out to enjoy it. Is it easy? Very difficult. In fact, in the first canto, Shukadeva Goswami explains, the most unfortunate person in this world is not a sense enjoyer. The most suffering person in this world is a fallen devotee. Because his problem is he knows he cannot enjoy. At least sense enjoyers can have a hope that they are enjoying. A blind hope. Otherwise, how is the world going on? But someone who has fallen to sense gratification, such a person is burning. Because you know what? I can't enjoy this. And he's suffering, gets burnt out. The senses are burnt. Life is going away. And then after a long, long time, and he's suffering a lot. When that cring, that hook hurts. That's why one devotee prayed that, my Lord, unless I get a deadly disease like cancer, I don't think I'm going to become serious in Krishna consciousness. And when the devotee came back to Krishna consciousness after many, many years, what was his consciousness? Srila Radhanath Maharaj was explaining, he said that the devotee said, the only guilt or the unfortunate thing I experienced in my life is that I could have done so much for my spiritual master, but I could not do it. So if that was his realization close to the point of death, if we bring that realization to our lives, because we are always close to the point of death, then how wonderful our Krishna consciousness would be. Oh, the only sad thing about my life is I could have done so much more for my spiritual master. So this is that fish who waits to get burned, to gets that hit, that banging of Maya, and then he's like, ah, okay, Krishna, enough. And then there are other fishes who are moving round and round and round around that. And they're sometimes looking at the bait, looking juicy, but they know there's danger. Even if I touch it, it's close to the hook. I may get caught anytime. And those fishes are in maximum anxiety. Because they're looking at the bait, but they can't enjoy it. And therefore, there's so much temptation, so much anxiety, so much burning. Such a person is very close to an ordinary materialistic person. Sometimes we joke about materialistic people. If you go to the hospital, his leg is hanging, his stomach has gone for operation, his kidneys are getting cleaned, his heart is having some resuscitation, his eyes are going, has gone for some checkup. And you ask such a person, sir, how are you? He opens his mouth, there are no teeth inside, but he says, I am very fine, thank you. Because that hope is there, I will somehow enjoy and squeeze out happiness in this world. Such a devotee is suffering temptation. Also is sometime like that. You ask him, how are you? When he goes out for preaching, Hari Bol, Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. When new people ask, Prabhuji, I am suffering. Where is suffering? Life is so much fun. Enjoy. Just chanting, dancing, and feasting. Just take prasad. It will burst in your mouth with joy. Just jump and you will be floating in the air. The mala will just float like butter in your hands. And that's the initial experience also. But within, there is a burning fight of temptation. Because the strength is not yet there to not yet look at that bait. As soon as we look at that bait, the temptation is there. But the intelligence is also there. So such a devotee is also going through a lot of struggle. Therefore, it is explained that to go from the lowest level of being tempted constantly to the highest level of not even looking at the bait and just freely swimming in the ocean of devotional service, one requires faith. Faith is the price. Shraddha matra shuddha nam. It is explained that if one wants to buy that shuddha nam, that pure devotional service, then one has to invest that faith in the association of devotees. One may say, I have faith. I come here regularly. I believe Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What's the problem? Why am I not experiencing Krishna? What is that faith is the subject matter of a very beautiful story. One time, there was an oasis in a desert. And in this oasis, there were some people who were living happily because they were comparing themselves to the other forest dwellers. That's the happiness of this world. So then, in this oasis, after some time, naturally, the water resources reduced. And thus, people started suffering. So one saintly person who was passing that oasis, he looked at the condition of the people and said, you people are in anxiety. He said, no. Just look at the other forest dwellers. We are happy. Just see how much water we have. See the palm trees over here. The saint said, be honest with me. There's some anxiety in your minds. And they said, yes, the fact is, we have all this, but we know that the resources are gradually finishing. And thus, we will be suffering just like those people. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the wet stool is laughing at the dry stool. Just see, your dry stool, you're going into the fire. Not knowing that the wet stool will very soon, the wet gobar patties, will very soon be put into fire. So if someone is enjoying in this world, it's just like a wave that's gone up. It's naturally going to go down once. Just let some time pass. So then, they said, what to do? The saint told them that I know of a great reservoir of pleasure, a reservoir of water. And there are beautiful orchards of so many wonderful trees, and you can enjoy to your heart's content. Would you like to come along with me? And everybody was so enthusiastic, so happy. He said, yes, 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 we'd all like to go along with you. The saint said, but conditions apply. You know? There are some conditions. And what are the conditions? The condition is that you must put faith in my words. Whatever instructions I give you, you must follow them. And number two, you must not look left, not look right, neither look behind. Always look in the direction that I am directing you towards. So all these people, they started following this saintly person because they were eager. One day passed, 2 days passed, no food, no water, walking in the desert, and all the people are talking amongst themselves. The saint is mad. Where is he taking us? Far, far in the distance, we can't see anything. And he's saying that, just walk, just walk, just trek along, and a beautiful reservoir of water will come. There'll be orchards of trees, and there'll be unlimited happiness in the gardens over there. We can't see anything. And they go up, and they argue with that sage. He said, are you cheating us? Like Srila Prabhupada said, if you just have faith that I've not come here to cheat you, you'll go back home, back to Godhead. One seems just such a simple statement, no? Prabhupada, how can you cheat us? You've given us so much. No, our faith will be tested. The saint, he said, just wait. Go on and on and on and walk in the direction that I'm telling you. Plus, don't look here and there. The next morning, people are thirsty. The hot sun is risen. They are tired of walking. And when they look to the left, there is another oasis in a little distance. And that's tempting them. But if they go there, then they'll get diverted. They'll miss the main road. They'll miss this caravan of people going towards that reservoir of water. And they'll be diverted. Some of the people go to that oasis. They leave. Still, the saint is pushing on and on and on, going ahead. On the right side, when people see, there is another oasis. Some water. And then, some of the people go in that direction. So it is when the sage just keeps going on and on, there are very, very few people who survive till the end. And at the end, what happens? There's actually a huge reservoir of unlimited water. There are so many trees full of so many orchards. And those people who go there, they live there happily ever after. So this parable, this story is told to explain that we are these conditioned living entities who are trying to enjoy in the so-called oasis of this world. Why oasis? Because this whole world is a forest fire. But we become comfortable in our own situation. It's so natural. Even in hell, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, there is attraction to the opposite sex. How interesting it must be, no? And that his body is being torn. He's being boiled in water. And when he's given a break, he's looking around, you know. Which body is beautiful? Oh, this is not good for me, you know. That one is beautiful. So we laugh at them, but the heavenly damsels and the demigods, they are laughing at us. That this person is going hell over heels over this other person, but the most beautiful people of this world are like horses or frogs compared to the heavenly damsels. So they are laughing at us. How can you enjoy that? And then, of course, in the spiritual world, they are laughing at the heavenly people. How can you enjoy this horrible sense gratification? Such a low class. So, this saint, he gives them initial faith. That come on, come out of your complacent situation. And I will take you to a very special place where there is unlimited joy and pleasure. But you have to put faith in my words. And you have to trek along. So then the living entity starts practicing spiritual life under the guidance of a spiritual master. But when he looks left, there's another oasis. And that's compared to the heavenly planets. When the heavenly planet's attraction comes, enjoyments of this world, then one becomes scared. Should I go ahead with this sage or not? It's so much difficult. The bait looks so attractive. Let me just try a little bit of it. But then the sage keeps pushing on and on. And then on the right side, another oasis comes, which is much bigger, and that is the enjoyment of liberation, freedom from all suffering. Sometimes devotees also feel, I don't want any liberation. Liberation? Ha, low class. For the demons. But what is that liberation? That liberation is that desire to become free from all suffering. Isn't that a desire to become free from suffering? Even if you're sitting for some time this way, we want to sit that way. From the suffering of hunger, thirst. That's the desire for liberation. And the desire for complete liberation is the sum total of all these desires to become free from any material discomfort. That's the desire for liberation. Not easy to give up. So much desire for comfort. Now an interesting thing comes up. That as practicing devotees, we want to make our life as peaceful as possible so that we can execute Krishna consciousness. But two things are to be considered. One, that this material world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, so miseries are going to come. And number two, the temptations created by the attractions of Maya and our material desires are so strong that that also creates miseries in our mind. So what to do? Should we be miserable and surrender to Krishna? Or should we try to make our situation peaceful as possible and then surrender to Krishna? Big dichotomy in the mind of a conditioned soul, of a practicing devotee. Should I try for some liberation, some peace, some joy? Or should I just, whatever comes, go on, let me suffer and surrender to Krishna? So one devotee was beautifully explaining that it is not wrong for a devotee to try to find some peace in this world, some stability in this world, so that one can practice Krishna consciousness happily. Because that is a part of Krishna consciousness. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. That which helps you in your devotional service, one should accept it. But that peace which one gets, that stability which one gets, in that stability one should practice Krishna consciousness so deeply that when calamity strikes, when difficulty strikes, either by the temptations or by the difficulties and the dangers of this world, then one can practice Krishna consciousness even in those difficult conditions. So we are neither a devotee of detachment nor a devotee of attachment. We are devotees of Krishna. We don't want to become detached from this world and just be free, free, free. Oh yes, we want to be free. We want to be peaceful. Like especially some counselors of the householders, the grihasthas, not only in devotee circle but even outside, they say that to manage relationships in Kali Yuga is such a difficult task. Two people cannot just live together peacefully. Because they are not practicing the principles, the only desire is how I can enjoy. So if anybody infringes in my privacy or in my comfort levels, cut that person out of my life. I don't want that person. I don't want to see the face of that person. That's why in Germany, in those, what do they call them? Bahn roads. You know, these autobahn roads where you can actually drive with your steering wheel locked. Over there, you can just go with high speeds and you know for sure you'll just keep going straight for hundreds and hundreds of kilometers. They have a benchmark, a policy that if there is an accident on that road, then they will reach that accident spot within 4 minutes. And since those roads have been created, it has never happened that there was an accident and within 4 minutes a helicopter did not come to save those people. Why? Why this kind of precision? Because they do not want to see death. They do not want to see old age. They don't want to see diseases, accidents, difficulties of this world. Wipe it out within a few minutes. So everything looks nice. Autobahn road. You can just go on and on and on. Enjoy yourself. But these are realities of life. They will come. Like Goindru was quoting one time, that if one wants to keep peace between two people in the house, then sometimes there has to be a dense forest between them. Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, sometimes father, son. So many fights, problems, anxieties. People can't even live peacefully. So, one may think that these difficulties are coming to me. Should I just give up everything and become peaceful, liberated, happy, and then practice my Krishna consciousness? Or should I just continue keeping fighting on in this situation? Yes, if it is possible, then one should practice the highest Krishna consciousness, where one should go on to the limit, in spite of all difficulties, like we hear about Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj did not desire for liberation from his father and run away from home. Okay, if you don't allow me to become brahmachari, then I'll run away without telling you. No, not like that. He stayed at home. That was the highest level of devotion. If that is not possible, then one may take to some freedom from that misery. But that's not the goal. If one is constantly changing and wanting that freedom from the misery, then one will become a devotee of detachment and one's devotional service will become very weak. Therefore, it is explained, one should try to change one's consciousness. And that is possible when one puts faith in the words of the spiritual master. Go on, go on. There is a wonderful place that will come. You will transcend all these three all the difficulties of this material world. Practice Krishna consciousness. Although there may be so many challenges and difficulties right now. This faith is necessary. And we can get it from the association of great devotees. Like Shyamavalla Prabhu was telling me last week about Paramahamsa Prabhu's experience in Ayodhya. He said one time he had gone to Ayodhya and there he saw one chhatralay. And that chhatralay was giving free food to 50,000 people every day. Where they give free food. 50,000 people they are feeding every day. And donations are coming. People are giving money. In fact, I had a personal experience. Few months back, I had gone to Rajkot. And nearby Rajkot, there is a place called Virpur, which is the place of one great saint, Jalaram Bapa, who comes in Rudra Sampradaya. So when I went there, I took darshan, I took beg for the blessings of that great devotee, Jalaram Bapa. And then after the aarti, I saw something interesting. I saw that there were a few people who were trying to drag the people who had come for darshan to their own places to feed them prasadam. So this large amount of prasadam distribution, I had heard that. So I was wondering, what is this? You know, they want to take people to their place for prasadam so that they can earn some money. And then I was immediately corrected by the other devotees who were with me. They said, don't be in this mentality. Do you know? Just look around everywhere. There are boards which say, donations are never accepted here. If anybody takes donation from you, know that is a fraud. Because we don't accept donations. We get so much food that we can't accept any more donations in money. We can't handle that. And all the other people who were calling, they were actually eager to serve more prasad to as many pilgrims as possible. So although prasadam was being served in the temple, there were many other chhatralays in different places where, because so many people come for the evening aarti, and there are different people in charge of those places. So there is a kind of a competition. How many maximum pilgrims I can carry to my chhatralay and feed them with nice Krishna prasad. So one person was asking us a question when we joined the Krishna consciousness movement, that if you become a devotee, then who will take care of you? You have no job, you have no money. You have no bank balance. That same friend of mine, after many, many, many years, I one time caught him down at our own temple, taking some halwa. You know, previously we used to have halwa distribution in his car and then going. So I called him up. I reminded him of that old accusation which I had made. I said, you had asked me who will feed you? Who will give you money? Who will give you clothing? But what to speak of feeding us? By the mercy of Radha Gopinath, you are coming, standing in line and taking something as prasadam food from him. So if one has faith in the Lord, like Srivast Thakur clapped three times, you know, his whole house was full of prasad, food, then everything can be achieved. But at every step, our faith will be tested. And if one wants to check one's faith, then one should just see what are the thoughts that come to our mind when we chant Hare Krishna. Because the mind desires so much enjoyment. And where it gets enjoyment is where it will dwell. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna, if we have real faith that Krishna's holy name is the source of all bliss, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the source of all bliss, let's check, am I absorbing myself in the holy name? Am I absorbing myself in the Srimad Bhagavatam? What are the thoughts coming to my mind? At every second, mind just going here, going there, it's hot, it's late, it's this, it's that. Or one devotee said, you know, we were in Mayapur. few months back. And there was a stand-up comedy show. And in this stand-up comedy that devotees were doing, they would ask the questions and the participants had to answer. So one of the questions was, this time of the day is the best time for planning. Somebody raised his hand and he said, chanting. He said, full marks. So chanting is a time when we do our planning or when we do our mourning. Oh, he said like this, she said like that. That should have happened. That should have happened a little differently. Just it would have happened a little differently, everything would have been perfect. Or our worrying time. What about the future? So many things are there that I have planned. So, are we absorbing in the holy names? Srimati Mataji, when she was here giving her classes on the holy name seminar, making friends with the holy name, she gave a very beautiful example. She said that sometimes we are not able to focus in Krishna consciousness in our chanting is because we are not fixed in our identification as servants of Krishna. He said, if Krishna consciousness is like blood flowing through a blood vessel, say a vein, then the initial stage is sambandha, where we develop a relationship with Krishna, I'm your servant. The middle part is abhideya, where there is a flow of the blood, the practice of Krishna consciousness, and the end is prayojan, where one gets pure love of Krishna. So if the sambandha and the prayojan, the beginning and the end are closed in the blood vessel, then what will happen to the blood in between? Simply rot, become dirty. And it'll have to be cleaned, it'll become clotted. So if our sambandha is not clear that I am the servant of Krishna and his devotees and I must follow my guru's instructions, put full faith, absorb in the holy names, then the progress of that sambandha, the fresh blood, new blood is not coming. So when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, you're wondering what's happening. I'm chanting, I'm serving, I'm associating with devotees, but I'm rotting. I'm rusting. So many material desires are developing in my heart. What's happening to my devotees? Sometimes devotees become even a little crazy. That's because you're not fixed. Chaitanya Radas Mui, Chaitanya Radas, Chaitanya Radaseranu. Chaitanya Radasa Mui Daseranu Das. So that's why with great conviction, devotees, they try to actually convince themselves, actually I'm a servant, you know. And again he's repeating it to himself. Advaita Acharya is actually telling Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Maharaj Pratap Rudra was asked by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, you're singing such beautiful verses, you're pressing my feet, who are you? The natural identification is what comes up when somebody asks you, who are you? Like just the other day, somebody was asking me, who are you? And he was a new person. So I had to explain to him, so I was just thinking what to tell him. I told him, I'm a preacher of Bhagavad Gita. And then after discussing with a few devotees, I just came to the conclusion, I'm not a preacher of Bhagavad Gita. I'm hardly even a practitioner of Bhagavad Gita. I'm just even struggling to understand the messages of Bhagavad Gita. But when somebody asks you, who are you? Then immediately what's on the top of your mind, what we think we are is what comes up immediately. Like when you ask a person, who are you? I'm an engineer. I'm a businessman. Because that's the topmost identification he has in his mind. That's not what you are. That's what you do. Engineering is not what we are, but that's what we do. But what are we? Maharaj Pratap Rudra says, I am the servant of the servant of the devotees and nothing else. He adds that. That's all my identification is. So that just springs up, especially if you're in front of a very senior person, you're always scared. You can't speak very deeply thoughtful things. Oh, I planned it before. This is the verse, the meter, the rhyme, everything is perfect. Chaitanya Radas Mui. No, it's not like that. It just comes out from the heart. That's what it is. So Maharaj Pratap Rudra just speaks with conviction. So sometimes our conviction is not deep that I'm a servant. And therefore, our abhideya, our practice of Krishna consciousness becomes rotten. What to speak of achieving the prayojan? Because Krishna consciousness is just a development of servitude. It begins with being a servant and it ends with being a servant eternally. When the wives of Lord Krishna meet Draupadi, it's explained in the Krishna book, they introduce themselves. We are simply the maid servants of Krishna. The gopis in Vrindavan, when they talk of themselves, they refer to themselves to simply being the maid servants of Krishna. They are the highest topmost devotees, but their consciousness is, we are the servants of the servants of the servants. In fact, Radharani carries this to the ultimate limit. In the Antya-lila of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, she says, if some devotee is giving pleasure to Krishna, and I don't get along with that devotee, or if I'm even envious with that devotee, of course, it's all happening on a transcendental platform, and there's competition there also. But if that devotee can give pleasure to Krishna, then I will go and become a servant of that devotee and encourage the devotee to offer more and more love and service to Krishna. So Krishna consciousness is just a progression of that faith. Where am I taking shelter? Am I taking shelter in the sound vibration? Am I taking shelter in the devotees? Am I looking at that oasis over there that's attracting me to heavenly pleasures? Am I looking at the oasis for relief from suffering? Or am I fixed in the instructions of my spiritual master and the devotees to just go on and sometimes fight? And thus ultimately change one's consciousness. Therefore, in this fight of the neophyte or the practicing devotee, Vritrasur gives great encouragement. He says, Yuyutsutam kutrachit atatainam jaya sadai katranavai paratmanam venaikam utpatti laya stitishwaram sarvagyamadya purusham sanatanam. Vritrasur says, Yuyutsatam kutrachitatatainam. Vritrasur compares the practicing devotee to a fighter. Yuyutsatam, he is a spiritual warrior. And a fighter, where does he get his inspiration from? He gets his inspiration when there is an obstacle, when there is a challenge. Then the best comes out. Like Karna, when he was having his guru, Parshuram, sitting on his lap, lying down on his lap, he was a Kshatriya, but he had lied to Parshuram that I'm a Brahmana. So one bug bit him and blood came out. That bug was painful. It was actually a big hole that it created. It was excruciating. But when Karna saw blood, his Kshatriya spirit came out. And he said, I'm going to tolerate it. The best came out from within because he saw that blood. And when so much blood came out, that Parshuram's head was soaked. He said, what is this hot, wet substance? And he got up. He said, you can't be a Brahmana, because by seeing blood, you did not faint. Your Kshatriya spirit came out. Similarly, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport of Vidura instructing Dhritarashtra. He says, get out of your household. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada gives two examples. That a Kshatriya, just like a Kshatriya feels great enjoyment and happiness when an opportunity comes for fighting. It's his bliss. He'll give up his life for that. Why? Is it fun to give up one's life? In fact, in the descriptions in the Mahabharata, it's so exciting that Vyasadeva explains that sometimes the fighters, even at the point of death, their teeth are clenched and their face is as if I'm going to attack you still more. Their head is cut off, but their head is, you know, in such an expression that I'm going to attack you more and more. And the hand is in such an expression that, you know, I'll pick up my sword. Although there is no life in the body. That is the spirit of the Kshatriya. Till the point of death, he wants to continue fighting. Why? Because he knows that if I give up my body in this Dharma Yuddha, heaven is waiting for me. His vision is not in the fight here. His vision is in the higher regions. Because his vision is there, he doesn't mind giving up this body. And then Srila Prabhupada also gives the example of a sportsman. He says the happiness of a sportsman does not come from simply winning money, but that sportsman's spirit, they call it. The joy that comes out from within. And there is a powerful opponent, then the joy comes out. So similarly, a spiritual warrior, when he goes through many challenges, or she goes through many challenges, then like a warrior, those challenges should create an opportunity of encouragement and enthusiasm. One devotee explained that non-devotees are like a piece of clay. You drop it, it just falls. You know, but a devotee is like a rubber ball. Or, you know, nowadays they have this ping pong, you know, this crazy ball type. You drop it, it goes even higher, you know. Drop it little and it just jumps up and down. So devotee is like that. Even if he falls, even if he has any difficulty, he just rises back immediately because he fights back. And therefore, Vritrasura is telling Indra, that my dear Indra, why are you becoming morose because I have won? There is only one person who can always get victory, and that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jaya sadaikatrana vai paratmanam. Only the Supreme Lord can be victorious always. Anybody in between and below the Lord will sometimes face victory, sometimes face defeat. So right now, I am victorious and you are defeated. But why are you giving up your duty? Stand up and fight. Prabhupada writes in the purport, very interesting statement. He says, pride in victory and moroseness in defeat are both useless. See, the nature of this world is when we get some our desired results, then we become very proud, successful. And when we don't get them, then we become miserable, morose, frustrated, envious. So this material world is a horrible place. Whether we succeed or we fail, we only become filled up with negative qualities. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada says that one must just sincerely act according to one's position and fully depending upon the Lord for His mercy. Niyatam kuru karmatvam. Just do your duty. Because that is our prerogative. And then victory or defeat, that is in Krishna's hands. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says one should not be simply jubilant in victory or morose in defeat. Rather, one should continue in one's Krishna consciousness and do one's allotted service and duty in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a very interesting pastime in Srila Prabhupada's life, which says that when Srila Prabhupada was initially struggling in America, writing so many letters to his godbrothers, to different people in India, requesting for help, requesting for support, one time he got a very curious letter from somebody called a Mukti Brahmachari. And he reminded Prabhupada of his slight association and said that, "I would also like to come and associate with you now and continue this service of helping you in America, of preaching Krishna consciousness." So Srila Prabhupada wrote a very encouraging letter to him. He said, "This Krishna consciousness is preaching is not one man's work. You immediately come to America, request your guru to give you permission, and personally work very hard to secure the permission of the finance minister to release the funds that Padampat Singhania is going to give us. And you come to America and there is so much service available for us." So Mukti Brahmachari wrote back, confirming his eagerness, "Oh, I'm still eager," but expressing his doubts. He said, "First I will come to America, then I will request my Guru Maharaj to help with the foreign exchange because he has some contacts." Srila Prabhupada was annoyed and immediately replied back. He said, "Is preaching my private business? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati wanted centers of Srila Rupa and Raghunath to be present all over the planet. And therefore, I am also doing the same work of your Guru Maharaj, but in different capacities. Don't think that our mission is different. We are both serving Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. If by meeting the finance minister, the work can be done easily, why wait simply because you are fearful that if you ask a spiritual master, then he will cancel your trip to America?" And in this way, Srila Prabhupada wrote a heavy letter back to him. So Mukti Brahmachari submitted this appeal to his spiritual master, and as he had guessed, the guru turned down his request and expressed doubts that, "I do not want to become involved in this project." So then Mukti, he also started doubting, and he wrote back to Prabhupada. He said, "If your program is not bona fide, then to approach such a big personality will be a ludicrous effort, no doubt." And that was the second last letter that Prabhupada received. The last letter came from the finance ministry that your money is not to be sanctioned and thus you will get no help from India. And after writing hundreds of letters to so many people in India, Srila Prabhupada concludes his whole episode in his final letter to Mukti Brahmachari. He says, "This letter shows Srila Prabhupada's deep conviction and faith in his in the instructions that he received from his spiritual master." He says, "So the controversy is now over forever. Now there is no need for help from any outside sources. We may or may not be successful in our attempts at preaching work, but failures are certainly not ludicrous. In the absolute field, both success and failure are glorious. gem-like sentences. And then he gives an example. Srila Prabhupada says, even Lord Nityanand Prabhu pretended to be a failure in his first attempt to convert Jagai and Madhai. Rather, he was personally injured in that effort. But certainly, that is not ludicrous. In fact, the whole thing was transcendental and was glorious for all parties involved. So success or defeat is not the prerogative of the practitioner. That is a prerogative of Krishna. But the practitioner continues with faith that if I just continue practice Krishna consciousness, then one day I will really absorb myself in Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll absorb myself in the holy names. I'll absorb in my service to the devotees. I'll absorb myself in the service to the deities. And therefore a devotee, although he may be hopelessly hopeless, still he prays, my Lord, I commit offenses day in and day out. Ahar Nisham. But knowing me as your servant, dasoham iti matva, kshamasya madhusudana, I beg you to please forgive me. I am again reiterating my constitutional position. I am simply a servant, my Lord, because I am your servant. Although my life is a life of offenses, at every step I am offensive towards you. But considering me your servant, please forgive me. And what is my hope? Pratigya tava govinda name bhakta pranashyati. My Lord, you have taken a vow. Pratigya tava govinda name bhakta pranashyati. That my devotee will not perish. Iti samsmritya samsmritya pranan sandaryamiham. That's my hope, my Lord. Although I'm offensive, I'm good for nothing, on my own strength I can't do it. But my hope is that because I'm your servant. Therefore, humility and inferiority complex look very close. When we focus ourselves at our own faults or at others' faults, one gets inferiority complex. But that's not humility. In humility, one is grateful to Krishna for all the wonderful things Krishna has given us. And thus, one becomes defeated by Krishna's love. Thus, when one sees one's faults, one's offenses, one feels, what hope is there in Krishna consciousness? How merciful is the Lord? What he cannot do? Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur plays, my Lord, even the demons have achieved you. Gopinath, that is my only hope. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So with that, we'll stop here. It's quite late. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.